It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Can you be sure that we are not just all living in a referee's main character simulation? Are they the main character? Do sports exist just for officials to be like, hey, let's take a look at that goal. Did it count? Let's pull out the iPad, guys. Nobody's doing anything. Give me 30 minutes, rules analyst free. Hey, it's February, and the NHL's announced that February is no challenges month. I'll watch more games. I promise. Oh, it's week 17 in the NFL. You know what that means? Gene Steratore's off today. Thank you. Please go away. We're just trying to watch sports.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
One unassailable truth. The return of football means the return of complaining about football.
All right, go ahead.
And everybody. That's everybody. Football's back, baby. Yeah. And what is it? A nonstop roast of, look at this ridiculous sport.
It's kind of like the return of summer, right? Like, the weather was terrible all spring. It's like, man, I can't wait for summer. And summer shows up like, too hot.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Too hot.
What would we do if we didn't complain? And last night, Chargers and Lions, the Hall of Fame game. Hopefully you watched it. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you watched something else.
I got to it 3 minutes late. There was a review on the first play.
I did not see that either.
I was busy.
I was out with Joe Marino and Patrick Moran for Patrick's Talking Buffalo podcast. So I missed the challenge on the and the review on the opening
on the
kickoff.
There was a fumble on the kickoff.
Great.
And they had to review it.
Great. Yeah. I'll have to go back.
I mean, they need
it's preseason for everybody.
Got it.
I beat you to it.
Preseason for everybody.
I'll have to go back and watch because, of course, the most important thing is that they got it right. And it'll help me sleep tonight if I see that they got that call right. Yeah. I missed it. There was a fumble.
There was a fumble, I guess, on the opening kickoff. And then I don't know how long the review was. Like I said, I got to it a little bit after that.
I watched the second half. I am one of the seven people. Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm one of the seven people in America that stayed up and watched the entire second half, but I have a specific reason why I did that.
Uh-huh.
Because I was also, and we'll see how smart this is by the time we get to like 10 a.m. and noon. I stayed up till about midnight watching that game and also assembling a small table and chairs for kids.
Oh, okay.
So
it was background, kind of.
Yeah, it was. I've got a reason to stay up. If I put this together now, I can keep an eye on this, and I can get five or six things to complain about tomorrow. That's pretty much what I thought.
Okay.
And I did get that. Although I'm trying to
really?
Remember. Yeah.
From the second half?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've got...
Was Trey Lance still in the game at that point? Because I did not watch the second half.
No. Kyle Allen was in when I was watching.
He was in the first half, too.
Kamani Vidal was great.
My part of the parlay, you know, that was a hit yesterday.
Congratulations.
Vidal.
Yeah. So I missed the opening, but I saw the second half.
Did you see the Hawkeye technology to measure first downs?
Oh, it's on the list of things to complain about.
All right, we'll have to get to that.
The biggest problem I have right now is last night as I was building this table, I had it's a small little table and chairs like for an arts and crafts corner for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And whenever we get stuff like that, I'm one of these people that I like to put that stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little tedious. It took a while, but I still enjoy that. It's easy. It's fun. Take it all out.
Yeah.
You know, lay out the parts, numbered, lettered. Here's the little pouch that's got the wooden dowels in it and the pouch that's got this. So I was in my element. Like, oh, yeah, I'll do this in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And watching that last night, I was thinking, oh, perfect. I'm just going to get more material for tomorrow. And I had three things to complain about that were not a rules analyst.
Okay.
And I can only remember two of them. I should have written it down. The third thing is I can't remember what I'm complaining about anymore. But it was football.
It was football. You know, I just appreciated for what it was, and that there were a couple of guys that like, that guy, he's playing tonight. I mean, that was Trey Lance, but we already knew that.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked pretty good. We'll see.
Your guy, Trey Lance.
My guy,
Joe's,
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance truther routine is about to get kicked up a notch.
Thought he looked polished, you know, playing like the sixth football game of his life. Someone finally gave him a shot to throw the ball around.
Do you think the Bills gave the Lions a call last night? They previously
the Lions
did
a call?
The Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers.
They previously did try to get Trey Lance once.
They did. They called the Niners about him when the Cowboys got him for like a fourth or something, which would make sense. They didn't want to go that high. So Lance was interesting last night. I'm watching and go like, oh, Nyheim Hines. There he is. Nyheim Miller Hines, I believe, actually, now, though. He's got a hyphenated name. Jarrett Patterson former UB running back, was out there last night.
Saw that.
Saw Kyle Allen. It's really just an exercise of, oh, that guy. He's playing for he's on the Chargers depth chart. That's basically what last night was for me. And it was football.
It was football. Collinsworth.
Just not taking it trying not to take things that aren't supposed to be serious too seriously. Right.
Collinsworth did say in the game, in the second half, and I quote, "I mean, this game is meaningless."
Good for him.
He said it. And Tirico had a good line. What? We've made it this far, and you're telling me it doesn't mean anything? And
his 20th Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. He wanted to talk about how, the guys in the game, it's meaningful, but the Lions didn't play any of their starters. Because you could tell Collinsworth in that moment was trying to reassure, people that live in Detroit. You don't have to call your sports station and say, oh, my goodness, we got walked by the Chargers in a preseason game.
Uh-huh.
Relax, everybody. But it was preseason. It was the Chargers. It was Harbaugh firing up Trey Lance, who went 13 of 20 for 120 and two touchdowns.
Yep. Only took one sack on the night, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't scrambling all the time. He was trying to throw the ball, and he had some pretty passes, I think. He always had arm talent. Like, he had the big arm. It was really inconsistent. But it's too late for him, right? No matter what. It's too late for him.
Lance?
Yeah. And what's funny about it's too late for him is you've never seen a pick that high ever get this little of a chance. He was the third overall pick. Do you know how many games he ended up starting?
Is it like five?
Five.
Okay.
He ended up starting five games. So if someone did, like, say, oh, try that out for a spin, you'd be giving a third overall pick that's only played five games a shot. But I don't think he's ever getting a shot.
It just feels like
it's
a
been
tough sell.
Too long. Like the timeline's been too long.
And it's also, who owned the car before you? Who had Lance on their team before you?
Right.
If you are, he was drafted by Matt Eberflus. You might think,
sure,
there's something in there.
You know who gets second chances all the time? Jets quarterbacks.
Yes, I was just going to say Adam
Jets
Gase.
Jets quarterbacks.
If he had been with Adam Gase, maybe there's something in there. Instead, it's Kyle Shanahan. And I'm not saying it has never happened, but I think that the NFL at large, the coaches, Shanahan didn't like that? Okay, it's not going to work for me. Like, Shanahan can shine up any quarterback into something, all the way down to Nick Mullins. And, of course, Garoppolo and Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy.
Yep.
So, Kyle wouldn't start him? Nah, it's over. Sorry. Right. Sorry, kid. You got a chance with the guy that's the quarterback wizard, and he said you can't do it. So, I'm not going to be the one to take a chance. That said, he played pretty well for Harbaugh and Greg Roman last night. And
he did, in a preseason game against backups, but he did.
Right, that's right. In a preseason game against backups, this is where someone calls and says, guys, EJ Manuel had a really nice game against the Colts. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, he did.
That's where I wonder, so he is the third pick by the Niners, who immediately were a contender, right?
Yep.
Like, they had a weird year where they were that low in the standings. Actually,
it's not that weird for them. They do that all the time.
Right. And actually, if I remember right, they weren't that low. They traded up with Miami, didn't they? With, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Future first-round picks to move up and get him. He ends up going to a team that's great right away. And he was a developmental type of quarterback. He had hardly played football in his life. Didn't play the whole COVID year because there was no FCS football, whatever. If he goes to the Jets and plays 30 games and doesn't look good, is he more likely to get a chance?
I think he might be.
Because that's what's kind of weird about that.
Because I'll tell you,
no one got to see him, and that almost makes it harder for a guy like that to get that second opportunity than, I guess Zach Wilson was the number two pick. He has not got a second opportunity. Maybe he never will. But Darnold and Geno Smith, they eventually got it, and maybe Wilson will before Lance ever would.
Yeah. I was thinking about this with Jets quarterbacks recently because I was comparing Daniel Jones and his stint with the Giants to Geno Smith with the Jets.
Okay.
Because Geno Smith got another chance and is now good.
Yeah.
And
it took him a long time for that second chance.
It did. Yeah. And Daniel Jones is a laughingstock. And if you look at Daniel Jones' first stint with the Giants against Geno Smith, they do not look like, oh, this guy deserves a chance, and laughingstock. They look like the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Geno Smith did. He had zero good years with the Jets and somehow, got the right kind of scenario and proved himself. But with the Jets, his seasons went 12 touchdowns, 21 picks, 13-13, and then he never really played again for them. It was over.
Right.
2014 with the Jets, 13 touchdowns and 13 picks. A full 8 years later.
Yeah.
30-11 with Seattle.
8 years later.
8 years later. That was the Geno Smith arc.
There's one start in there. I'm looking at his career too right now. There's one start in there with the Giants that was very controversial because that was when Ben McAdoo ended Eli's start streak.
That's right.
And Geno was the one that went in for one game. Ben McAdoo might have ended up being onto something, and they never got a look at it.
But Geno's best year with the Jets was 13-13 touchdown interception.
Okay.
Daniel Jones was positive on touchdown to interception 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Okay. Throwing how many touchdowns?
24-12, 15-5, 8-7. 10-7, 11-10. The point
pretty
is
pretty low, but yeah.
Oh, sure.
You're right.
Yeah. But I was just thinking about this guy is literally a laughingstock. The Colts bring him in, and it's who would ever want this bum? And yet Geno Smith was much worse.
That's right.
And got an 8-year gap and still found his way.
But he is definitely a rarity.
Yes, I
agree. Geno Smith. Yep. Like, more often, that guy that gets a second chance, Trubisky, this is kind of the case for, right? He ends up getting one in Pittsburgh. Almost always, those guys are not good, like, at all. Like, Jones right now, and also, like, there is the starting experience part of this is interesting, too, because even, like, Geno Smith started 30 games, right, in his Jets career. That's what Pro Football Reference says.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones started 69 football games.
Nice.
He played a lot of football, and that's kind of where the Colts, I guess, they prefer the guy who's experienced. For me, I would look at Daniel Jones and go, I have a lot more evidence that guy is not good at quarterback, and yet he's getting a look as maybe being a starter again, and I got a guy playing last night who's played 5 games that nobody would even think to look at as a starter. And in my opinion, I'm like, I'd rather take the shot at that guy. Give me the shot at the guy who's played 5 games. Maybe Shanahan was wrong. Let me take a bet on that, because that's all I'm going on. With Daniel Jones, I've got 7 seasons worth of tape that tell me he's not good. With Lance, it's just Shanahan mystique
5 games
for him not being good. But yet, who's the guy that's going to get a shot to start? Although, actually, have you read about Colts camp? Colts camp is like, it's
Richardson's all of a sudden taking the reins.
But I think that's because Jones looks so bad.
Oh, okay.
The Colts signed him, and like they finally got him to on the practice field, and they're like, oh, this doesn't look very good. So maybe we should try Richardson out again.
Who could have predicted?
Right.
The Hall of Fame game last night, Chargers and Lions. And we talked a lot about the Chargers yesterday. The Lions will be interesting, too. I heard Collinsworth was talking about them saying this year they're going to put Montgomery and Gibbs on the field at the same time. That's a new wrinkle of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think they were on the field for the same snap 11 times. Sorry if I had this.
11 snaps?
11 snaps. That's
nothing.
11 snaps. The two of them were together. And the talk out of Detroit is that will be a feature of their offense. So, you know, the fantasy community can do what it will with that. But Montgomery and Gibbs, Sonic and Knuckles, on the field at the same time.
Am I wrong for treating that the same way that when you hear running backs are practicing at receiver? Like, oh, we're gonna move this guy around.
Uh-huh. Like, and you get a wide receiver in the backfield.
Is that a thing teams say they're going to do and then very rarely actually do it?
Good question. Collinsworth was convinced and that it would work well for them.
I mean, they're as good as it gets for that. If anyone was going to do it, those two backs are awesome.
Yeah, maybe what it is that's a scenario where Montgomery's in the backfield and Gibbs is in the backfield too, and Gibbs motions out or goes into a – because that's a heavy run look.
Right.
Maybe you do that and you get more linebackers on the field and then, you know, try to exploit that matchup with Gibbs. We'll see. The Lions have a big test. They lost both coordinators and are trying to just get back on top of the NFC Mountain. They had tons of injuries last year. If the Bills had a season like the Lions, we would think it was a curse. They had so many injuries on defense, all on one side of the ball. You know, we sit here and talk about how Bills seasons end because they lose linebackers and AJ Klein has to go in or Benford goes out. The Lions last year lost the defense. Mm-hmm. Almost every defensive starter missed time for Detroit last season, and a lot of them missed for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah, last year I'm looking at teams that played 22 personnel, which is two running backs on the field at the same time. There were like five teams. There were four teams that did it more than 50 snaps, and that was it. And the only team that really did it regularly was Baltimore. with 133. So that's what, Henry and Justice Hill on the field at the same time. So almost nobody in the league is actually doing that consistently. Like, there's like 8 teams that didn't do it one time. There's like 11 teams that did it once. So if they do it, they'll be one of the few teams that actually tries it.
Now you know football's back. We're talking 22 personnel.
22 personnel. The Bills, by the way, are one of the teams that did not run it. Oh, wait, there they are. 18.
18 snaps
last year. Should they do that? Should they do more of that? Do I need Cook and Ty Johnson, Cook and Ray Davis on the field at the same time?
Yeah, sure, whatever. The Bills are so consistently good that we don't even have to talk about the preseason pledge anymore. We have to do it.
No.
We used to have to do it because, hey, so-and-so is convinced. I think this Jeff Toole, I think EJ is going to have a great. And we'd have to say, you know, good or bad, the preseason pledge doesn't even matter. And they have been so good and so consistent that I feel like it's actually real now. That no one takes it that seriously. If, I'm trying to think of a player here. If TJ Sanders had like 7 sacks in the preseason, we'd say like, oh, that's cool. Uh-huh. How many games are the Bills going to win? I'm still going to win like 14. And if the defense got worked in the preseason, you know, every year, this time of year is me doing trivia asking what happened in last year's preseason, and no one can remember. Although last year I remember they played the Steelers.
They played the Steelers. You remember the score?
They got beat pretty bad.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they blew them out?
That was the year before.
Oh, okay.
Last
year was the rain game.
Yeah, the final score was 9-3.
9-3. Trubisky picked up a knee injury. They were trying to feed Keon Coleman.
Yep.
Last year's preseason, honestly, was about Joe Andreessen. That was the story.
That's right.
That was all of it for the Bills. 2 years ago might have been when they lost in Pittsburgh and got blown out, and McDermott sounded like it wasn't up to their standard. You know, he was upset. Whatever. And how many games they win? Like 15 or 13, whatever, like they normally do?
Yeah. Yeah, last year's preseason, I don't – like, in that Steeler game, Cook did play. He had 6 carries in that game. There's a Panther game in there, and then there's also a Chicago game in there. And those were both losses.
The only other preseason game of recent memory I remember is the A.J. McCarron comeback.
And that is not recent.
No,
that is Allen's rookie year.
Yeah.
So that is 7 years ago.
Yeah. McCarron's comeback to beat the Bears on the road and how important it was. And it was kind of cool for him. Like, his comments on it were all about how the guys in here, they don't get to fight for stuff like this, and to lead this team to victory is really special. And then the Bills traded him like a week later.
Yeah, they were down going into the fourth quarter of that football game.
28-7?
27-3.
Okay, 27-3.
They're down 27-3 going into the fourth quarter. They scored 25 points in the fourth quarter and won the football game.
The Bears have been reeling ever since.
Wow.
Yep. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-552-550 on the game last night. If you saw the return of the blue and red, the Bills are going to be at Highmark tonight for a scrimmage / simulated game situation, sometimes drills. I don't even know if we go so far as to calling it a scrimmage. Because sometimes scrimmages, they'll scrimmage the Bears when they do a joint practice a little bit, right? But it's not even all the way to a scrimmage, even though sometimes we do call it that. It's just a practice in Buffalo. So, you know, you'll see some individual stuff. You'll see some team stuff. Maybe we'll see Josh Allen's cool helmet, whatever he's going to wear for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see who's healthy. Hopefully Cole Bishop is back soon. But it should be nice. And the weather is, borderline fall-like.
Yep.
Slept with the windows open last night.
Nice, me too.
It was elite sleeping weather, which was necessary. So,
yeah. Thinking about this event tonight, I was thinking actually more about next year for this. Mm. And how many people will experience assuming they have it next year at the new stadium again. Maybe I shouldn't assume that.
I don't know.
Because it would be many's first. It would be their first time in the new stadium.
Yep.
And if they do have it, and it's... What was it? Was it this year free to the public again? It was free to the public, right? But there was like an unlimited. There were ticket inventory was limited.
Yeah, I think it's only. Is it only lower bowl?
Maybe they. No, I don't know. I've sat in the upper deck for this thing a couple years ago. They could sell out the new stadium next year if they want. If they had this event,
yeah, for sure.
If they wanted to, like, they could fill up every seat because it would just be more than just the practice. It would be let me go down to see the new stadium for the first time. If you didn't go to, like, if they have some kickoff event, kickoff concert or whatever before. So I guess I do wonder if they'll have this next year. Maybe they think that's too much to take on for just a practice. Are we really going to have 65,000 people come to this game?
Well,
come to this practice.
The latest I saw was we haven't talked to Pete Gwilly from camp yet. We hope to next week if we can line things up. Was saying that everything's on track and the stadium's on track to be ready for July, like open for stuff for the Bills in July. It won't be fully complete until into December because there are elements of it that you don't actually need to be complete.
Yep.
I believe that's the story of it. So, yeah, would the blue and red be their soft launch event? Or would a preseason game be that? Or
I mean, I'm feeling like there's going to be like a concert or something before any of that. But maybe the blue and red would be the first Bills event.
Yeah. One thing that snuck by yesterday we did not mention is that the Bills' pursuit of the draft has been pushed a couple years. They were looking for it soon, and they have now targeted another date. And I wonder if that is because someone else got picked and they know that, or if they decided, you know what, it's a little aggressive for us to try to do this so soon. They're now targeting 2029 or 2030. So the Bills still want to host the draft, but they have pushed their date on that. Initially, it was 2028 or 2029.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, like did the league come in and say, like, actually, we've got somebody for 2028 we've chosen, so let's have you guys submit and push in the future. Who else did I see was trying to get it? Was it Nashville already had it? Was it Baltimore? Did Cleveland have it?
Cleveland, I don't even know if they already had it. Were they talking about it for their new stadium? Maybe.
That's probably right too.
At some point.
But that won't be before they play games there. I mean, games are going to be soon. This time next year, right, are we talking about, hey, tonight's the preseason game against so-and-so, and go sit in your seats, go check it out. It does strike me that it will all come pretty fast because this year will be about commemorating the current stadium and all the memories. Season will end, and we'll say, like, well, next time they play, it's in that place, and that'll be pretty wild. So anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the battle of the blue and red, the scrimmage that's kind of like a, college atmosphere. It's like, hey, come look at, it's like spring practice.
The spring game?
It's the spring game.
It's the spring game.
But it's probably...
But it's not a game.
No, it's not a game, and it's probably a little, I don't say less competitive than the spring game, but like it's not really a game format, so that's...
Right.
That's a very clear distinction. If you go to this tonight expecting a game, you don't really often get that. You get game scenarios...
Yeah.
Much like practices.
Yep.
I've got two of my three things to complain about from yesterday.
Okay.
I just got to remember what the third thing was. What bothered me last night?
Was it Collinsworth?
I've got a Collinsworth note. Yep. I've got a Collinsworth note.
I like bonus points for him admitting the game meant nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give him that.
This game is meaningless. Direct quote, Chris Collinsworth. Also saw the part there with Brent Musburger.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that. How'd that go?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They joked about how often he would reference the gambling lines.
Uh-huh.
And
now he's... now it's legal.
Yeah.
Now he's like, now everybody's doing it.
Everybody does it.
It's on the screen.
Yeah. It's on the screen. So anyway, we'll get to plenty here. We'll check in with Sal. We'll check in with... I've got a call out to Paul Hamilton because Devin Levi signed a two-year extension with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been an offer sheet candidate, but signed a two-year deal with the Sabres, so... He's back. We'll talk a timeline there. And, of course, get ready for the blue and red. Injuries for the Bills, some better, some not so much.
Yep.
Just trying to get
Cole
to the
Bishop.
Center. Cole Bishop. That's maybe a big one.
And there's a star receiver on the market.
There allegedly is a star receiver on the market, Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry.
Yep.
Teams are calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders would be fools to trade him. But, hey, sometimes teams make
sometimes
that foolish.
Teams are fools, yeah.
That's right. Sometimes teams act like the Titans.
Yep. Right.
Let's just tear apart our entire franchise by making a horrendous wide receiver trade.
Right.
You know, maybe the Commanders do that. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want, 803-0550. Happy Friday. It is beautiful. The weather has kind of broken a bit. Humidity not as high. 55 degrees. Felt like fall last night. Feels like fall this morning. It's wonderful. Temperatures rise a little bit later in the week. In the weekend, we're going to get back in the 80s, 86 most of next week. Pretty consistently hot. Not going to rain for a while either.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. Days of no rain. So really nice stretch of weather here. You can give us a ring. I'm going to think of that third thing to complain about. I got two out of the three. I got to think of the third thing. Because the segment, Joe, was going to be called three things to complain about that aren't the rules official.
Uh-huh.
And I've only got two of them so far. It's like maybe I'll go back and rewatch the game right now during the break.
That seems like a terrible
idea. I'll access my NFL Game Pass and just rewatch the game.
That seems bad.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
That rewatching the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. Only the true football sickos.
Let me check out the all 22 of this. Let me dig right into it. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.